Greetings, friends. Today we're going to wrap up our discussion about the Feast of Tabernacles. As we've been going through this series on God's appointments, I've mentioned that there are 7 annual appointments that God has put on his calendar, and he expects us to meet with him during those appointments. The first 3 appointments have to do with Jesus Christ's first coming. And the last 4 appointments have to do with Jesus' second coming. And taken together, all 7 appointments teach us about God's plan of salvation for the entire world. So the first appointment God wants us to keep with him is called Passover. The second appointment are the Days of Unleavened Bread. The third appointment is Pentecost. The fourth appointment is the Feast of Trumpets, and the first 3 again happened in the springtime. These last 4, starting with Trumpets, happened in the fall. So Trumpets is number 4. Number 5 is the Day of Atonement. Number 6 is the Feast of Tabernacles. And number 7 is the Last Great Day. Those are the 7 appointments that God wants us to keep with him. He's put them on his calendar. We have to know what God's calendar is so we can know what time it is, and then we can meet with God at those appointed times. And there are great lessons to learn. Basically speaking, again, the first 3 have to do with Christ's first coming, and the last 3 have to do with Christ's second coming. Passover teaches us about forgiveness of sins through Yeshua the Messiah, but that is primarily for the church. All of the Old Testament saints and all of the New Testament saints, all of those who accept Christ prior to his second coming. That's what the forgiveness of sins is for. Yes, Christ died for everybody, and he only has to die once, but this opportunity to receive the forgiveness of sins is only being offered truly to those few that God has chosen. Many are called, but only a few are chosen. Then we have the Days of Unleavened Bread, which picture the fact that Jesus Christ, as our unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, as the bread of life, he now dwells in us. So after we've repented of our sins, we've been forgiven of our sins, now we have to accept Christ into our lives. And then we have Pentecost, which is also called the Feast of First Fruits. This is the time of the growth of the church and the work of the church until we all come into the unity of the faith, the full measure and stature of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And our responsibility is to be preaching the gospel throughout all the world as a witness, and as people accept the truth, because God has initiated it and drawn them out of the world. Scripture says no man can come to God the Father or to Christ unless God the Father draws him. So God the Father takes the initiative. Many are called, but only a few are chosen. Those who are chosen have a responsibility. We've been chosen to do a job. It is to witness, both verbally and in our actions, to the world that there is a true God. There is a way of life that will lead to utopia. We're supposed to preach that gospel. And as people accept it, we're supposed to baptize them and teach them to keep all of God's commands, as we try to do over this program, the ABCs of the Bible. So that has to do with the church age leading up to Christ's second coming. But then Christ does come, his second coming, and that is pictured by the 4th holy day, which is the Feast of Trumpets. And trumpets ushers in the time of war. Christ comes back as a conquering king. Trumpet being blown also signals the coronation of a king. That's what the Feast of Trumpets talks about. And then you have the Day of Atonement. This Day of Atonement pictures now Satan being put away for the 1,000 years, and it also pictures now the fact that the world will have its opportunity to receive Christ's sacrifice. Again, Christ only died once. That was pictured by Passover, but only a few people prior to Christ's second coming received that forgiveness of sins. During the Day of Atonement, it shows that now the majority of people will receive Christ's sacrifice for sin. And then we have the Feast of Tabernacles, which pictures the time when Christ has set up the kingdom of God. This will be the first time when God, through Jesus the Christ, seeks to save all of the world. It won't be many are called, but few are chosen. Now it's going to be all will be called, and many will be chosen. There will only be a few who will reject Jesus the Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because, as we talked about before, the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And people will learn the ways of God, and their human nature will be changed through the power of the Holy Spirit, according to God's word. It will be changed into God's divine nature, one where the law is written in people's heart and in their minds. And they will learn to love God with all of their heart, mind, and soul, and love their neighbors as themselves. And then, of course, we're going to talk about in our next program the seventh holy day, which is the last great day. But let's wrap up this sixth holy day, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's turn back to Leviticus chapter 23. This is Leviticus chapter 23, and this is by way of review, because this is where we see the seven clues which have to do with seven points that God wants to get across to us, seven lessons that jump out at us that He wants us to learn. When we come together at this appointed time, when we meet with God at this special time, the meeting is going to be about these seven points on this particular day, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. So in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 34, it says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days." Those are the first three clues. The fact that the Feast of Tabernacles happens on the 15th day, that's the first clue, of the seventh month, that's the second clue, and it should be kept for 7 days, that's the third clue. Then in dropping down to verse 39, it says here, "Also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord 7 days. So that's the fourth clue, is that this is a time of the gathering in of the fruit of the land, the gathering in of the harvest. Then it says in verse 42, "It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. That is going to be your sixth clue, or your fifth clue, is that it's people were supposed to dwell in booths for 7 days. Why? It says that your generation may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. That is our sixth clue, that this is a time of gathering, but it's not just the gathering in of fruit, it's the gathering in of people. God is going to gather in people, just like He gathered the nation of Israel out of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness to dwell in booths. He is teaching us that He's going to gather in people. And He says, finally, that I am the Lord your God. That is really the whole purpose, is for us to know, point number 7, that Jesus the Christ is Yahweh, and that God the Father is Yahweh. There is only one Elohim, and that means God. There's only one God. There's God the Father and God the Son. There's one God, as in one family, but there are two members in the God family, the Father and the Son. So that's what we are supposed to learn, to bow down to the one true God, God the Father and God the Son. We are supposed to worship God and God only. That's the end result of this Feast of Tabernacles, and that's what people will learn during this 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, because this Feast of Tabernacles pictures for us the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ when He comes back to this earth, His second coming, and He establishes the kingdom of God on earth so that He can teach people that He is Yeshua, the Messiah, their personal Lord, their personal Savior. the one true God. And people will worship God. It will finally get into people's minds. It says in Micah chapter 4, in verses 1 through 7, in Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, it really summarizes everything that we said. Let's turn over there. In the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. See, perfection arrives because the Lord is there. And many nations shall come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go out of Zion, and the word of the Lord shall go forth from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against another nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But every man shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree. There will be peace and prosperity. Everybody will have what they need, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken this. For all people will walk, every one, in the name of his leader, because we shall be kings and priests. And then we, as the leaders of the people, will walk in the name of Yahweh, our Elohim, forever and ever. What a beautiful picture the Feast of Tabernacles pictures for us. Again, for Israel, it showed them that they were dwelling in temporary dwellings, and that was to teach them their need for a permanent home. For them, their permanent home was in the land of promise, the nation of Israel, because they were dwelling in temporary dwellings in the wilderness. Also, it was to teach them that this was their large harvest time, when most of their food was gathered, because they had a smaller harvest in the springtime, and this was in the fall when they gathered in the largest harvest. So it taught them those two lessons. But for us, for the church, for the New Testament Israel, it teaches us two very different lessons. And those two lessons are that we dwell in temporary bodies of flesh, and this is to teach us our need for eternal life. We're in this wilderness now where Satan is the god of this world, but we're moving toward God's world, the one true God, Yeshua the Messiah, where he will reign over all of the earth, where he will teach people his ways, where the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's where we're moving into. That's our promised land. That's where we have new bodies, spirit-composed eternal bodies. We will have eternal life in a permanent place, which will be in the kingdom of God. That's the two lessons that we are to learn. Yes, my friends, this feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, begins the large harvesting of the entire world, where for the first time, the majority of people who are alive will be worshiping the one true God. What a wonderful time the Feast of Tabernacles pictures. And thank you for joining me on this series of programs about the Feast of Tabernacles. In our next program, we're going to start talking about the seventh of God's appointments, which is the last great day.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org or call us on 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.